It's time now for the Lou Epton Show. Brought to you by Lou Epton Incorporated. It's time not to just talk about it, but do something. It's time to get mad. The views expressed are those of the moderator, the guests, and the callers. They do not necessarily represent the views of the station, the advertisers, or their agencies. And now, here's Lou Epton.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Good morning, Southern Nevada. Good Monday morning. Did you get to the health food store nearest you on Friday? Did you sign the petitions? I can only hope you did, because there is a war raging right now between the FDA and us. All of us. They just want to take another freedom, another liberty, another right away. They want to restrict our ability to take charge of our body and use natural, non-toxic nutrition. Oh, I hope you did. I hope those petitions are loaded. In any event, we move along. We'll find out the results this week, and we will report to you just how many signatures we got, and I'll tell you what we're going to be doing with them. This morning, a show you're going to want to really hear. Our special guest is a Mr. Jordan Maxwell. Let me tell you a little about him. Back in 59, Mr. Maxwell began what became a lifelong work in the field of religio-political philosophy. His work in the fields, secret societies, and occult orders, both ancient and modern, along with the mystical symbols and emblems and their hidden meanings, I think you're going to find most fascinating. Let's find out about them. Let's say good morning to Jordan Maxwell. Good morning, Jordan.
Hello there, Lou.
And welcome to the program. Welcome to the Las Vegas area.
And thank you for having me on.
Well, it's our pleasure, because I think it's like pieces of a puzzle. And as we get good guests like yourself, they all come together. It looks, you know, and I don't want to sound totally paranoid, but what's going on has been planned for hundreds of years.
And it can be proven.
And it can be proven?
Absolutely.
Give us some of the evidence, please.
Okay. Now, first of all, there are so many facets to this problem that we face in this country. I think the biggest problem we face is not understanding words. Where words come from, what they mean, and symbols and emblems such as national national coat of arms, symbols of corporations, emblems that are used in companies, all of these things mean something. And one wise philosopher said that symbols are like an alphabet. If you can put them all together, they spell they spell something. If you put enough of them together, they tell you the whole story. And so the point I'm making is that if you know how to read the symbols, if you know how to understand the hidden meanings behind symbols and emblems and words, then you begin to unfold an incredible story of conspiracy, of political intrigue. And let me explain how I got into this.
Okay.
My mother's uncle, when I was a small child, my mother's uncle worked in the Vatican Secretary of State's office as a civilian. And on occasions when he would come back to this country to visit, he would sit for hours and hours talking about the political and religious intrigue going on throughout the world and how things were set up and how they were being manipulated behind the scenes by secret societies and fraternal orders and cabals and criminal societies. And I grew up around this kind of information. I have in my family a congressman, and I had a senator. Senator Claude Pepper was a very close friend of my grandfather's, and it used to come over to the home all the time. So, and I have also two federal judges in my family. So I grew up around the political environment and hearing these stories from behind the scenes. But it was only until I became 19 that I really decided to make this my life, because the intrigue was just fascinating to me. And with that kind of background, I began my own research, and for 35 years I've been doing nothing but that.
Let me ask, you say it was fascinating. Was it also perhaps a little frightening?
Oh, very, very much. And there are times when I'm very, very depressed for days on end. Because when you happen to have knowledge that other people don't and try and get it out, you see how futile it is, because most people are interested only in the football game and what's on TV, and they have no idea of the world, what is facing them, and how the world is set up. And we all like to wring our hands and lament over the conditions, but we don't understand the scam, how it is set up. And believe me, there is a very powerful story to be told, and I'm trying my best to get it out.
All right.
Now, we can take, for instance, when I said words are very important, even in our government, there are words, the entire United States government is words, and how you use those terms, and it's such a vast subject, as it's very difficult, hard to, decide where to start at. But let's start with the terms that are used in citizenship. Most people do not realize in this country there's more than one kind of citizenship that you can hold.
Well, we've talked about that a number of times. We have what we call a 14th Amendment citizen.
Right.
We have a sovereign citizen.
Exactly.
Go from there.
Well, if you are a 14th Amendment citizen, which implies that you are a citizen of the United States, and according to international maritime admiralty law, those words mean something. It does not mean the 50 states collectively. It means the islands and Washington, D.C., and the island protectorates of Washington, D.C.
So aren't you saying, in effect, there is more than one United States?
Absolutely. There is, in fact, legally, according to international law, more than one United States. As long as you don't know that, there's no problem. But the United States federal government is a corporation. It was set up as a corporation a few years back. It was not founded. America's government was not founded as a corporation, but it has been changed over legally in courts and, in fact, made, according to international law, a corporation. And all corporations, according to international law, must have a president and a vice president. That's why the United States federal government has a president and a vice president. It's a corporation. It's a company. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing whatsoever to do with your welfare as a citizen. You are not only not a citizen. You are nothing more than a franchisee of a federal corporation. And that's why here in California, when you pay your state taxes, you pay your taxes to the franchise tax board, because you're a franchisee. You're nothing more than a small cog in a very large corporation that you have no interest in whatsoever.
Now, if what you say about California, is it not true of all 50 states?
All 50 states.
You absolutely pay taxes to a franchise board.
That's right, exactly. And we can go on from there, because there are a lot of interesting connections can be made. Incidentally, according to the law books, which I have here on my desk, which says something to the effect that if you hire an attorney, to hire an attorney in this country means, according to law, this is not my saying, this is the law books say, that if you hire an attorney in this country for any reason, it implies, you are implying before the court that you are infantile or mentally incapable of taking care of yourself. That's the law, and I can read it to you. That anyone who has an attorney is mentally incapable and an infantile, and that's why you need help. Now, this goes back into ancient religion. We can take this because if you look at the structure of, for instance, generally speaking, churches throughout the world, churches have altars, and they have, in almost all churches, you'll have a fence, and then you have the gate in which the priest or the presiding ministers can go through the gate onto the altar. And, of course, the priest comes out with the long black robe or the long robes, and they are your connection between God and man, and you sit in the audience, and they are also, as I said, three tiers high, so you look up to the altar. Now, the same thing is true in a courtroom. When you walk into a courtroom, you have the gate, you have the long fence and the gate, and only the attorneys can go through onto the altar, which is, the bench is on three tiers high. And the reason why the benches are raised, not only so that you and the audience will look up to the law, but they look down on you, but they are also, the judge wears the long black robe, which is the same long black robe that you wear when you graduate from university. And it's black as the color of Saturn. The square that you wear on your head when you graduate is the Masonic square. And therefore, the young people say that once you graduate, you become a square. You know, you're in the system. And it's fascinating when you get into symbols and emblems and what they mean. And incidentally, when you graduate, you are said to be an alumni, coming from the word illumini, which means illuminated.
Oh,
and,
my.
Yeah. And so,
yes,
therefore, you are now part of the Illuminati or illuminated.
The only question I have, I If memory serves me right, I feel I have been in a number of different churches where there is not the gate or the fence, as you so describe.
Yes, well, that's probably true in some of the more more recent Protestant religions and Protestant churches. But in the Middle Ages and in the even the early Renaissance and even in this country within the Catholic Church and some of the Protestant churches, that still is the case, but
all
not
right.
in everyone.
All right, listen, we've got to do a quick timeout,
right.
and then we'll come back and continue. Lou Upton here, our guest this morning, Mr. Jordan Maxwell. Stay where you are. All right, and we are back. Our guest this morning, Mr. Jordan Maxwell. It's interesting you point out the commonality between religion, the churches, and the government, the law.
Yes. As a matter of fact, you even mentioned in your opening that I have been studying religio-political philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
It is my contention that both religion and politics are one and the same, because there's never been a religious movement in the world that wasn't a little political, and there's never been a political movement that didn't have a little religion in it.
Well, that and prior to government as we know it, it was the church that had all the power.
Absolutely, and that's precisely the point I'm making. Now, I mentioned to you before about this attorney-client, and I'd like to read to you from the Corpus Juris Secundum.
Okay.
Here on the attorney-client, it says, quote, the attorney operates with an obligation to the courts and to the public no less significant than his obligation to his client. Thus, an attorney occupies the dual position which imposes dual obligations. His first duty is, of course, to the courts and to the public and not to his client. The former must always yield to the latter. Clients are called wards of the court. And in the asterisk at the bottom, it says, wards of the court are infants and persons of unsound mind. That is the law.
Where do you find this?
This is in Corpus Juris Secundum.
And it's available in libraries?
Yes, it's found in libraries. And as a matter of fact, if your listeners will take out a pencil and paper, we will give my address and where they can contact me, and I will be happy to send them as much as they can read.
I've got
tons of it. So well, anyway,
go ahead.
Back to the point that we were making about the connection between law and church and religion generally. In this country, we say that if you get out of line, you have broke the law, just like Moses broke the law. And so the point I have made in times past is that there is a profound connection between religious symbolism, terminology, philosophies, and the government under which we live. And I think that it's time that the people wake up to find out that all of our original freedoms and the original government that we thought we had, given to us by our founding fathers, has been usurped and taken over very cleverly by some very powerful secret societies operating behind our government.
All right. Now, let's take a moment. At what point in our history did we lose our sovereignty as individuals and as states and become 14th Amendment citizens or belonging to a corporate body?
All right. Now, I'm not going to get too much into that because I'm not really an authority on that subject, but as in the 1870s, 1860s, is when that kind of thing began to happen. I don't have the dates in front of me, but there was a change over from the original way that the country was set up as opposed to the way it is today. You see, originally, each one of the 13 colonies were sovereign, and then when we began to institute what we call states, they became known as sovereign states. And the word comes from the old common law of England, meaning that each state was a sovereign kingdom, and consequently anyone living within each state was referred to as a sovereign citizen. That's why you could wear a gun and go into a bar, and if you had a falling out with someone, you could walk out into the street and shoot it out in front of everyone. And that was the law. You had the right to carry a gun, and if you had a difference with someone, you could settle it in the street with a gun. Because, and I'm not saying this is what we should do today, but I'm just pointing out points of law. The reason one could carry a gun, as we see in all the old Western movies, and would, is because individuals were sovereigns. And as sovereigns, you had the right as a king to declare war on another king. and therefore you had that right to protect your land. You had the right to tell anyone coming on your land that they had no right to be there. And so the entire structure of the way we lived as a country has been totally changed and totally, in my opinion, taken away from us completely.
And that happened in the mid-late 1800s.
Yes, right after Lincoln's assassination, things began to happen.
And see, you know, that's the point I wanted to get to. Lincoln literally was a turning point.
Yes.
His period,
no doubt
that
about
is.
It. Yes.
All right.
And Lincoln was a very important turning point. And our textbooks today, our history books have been rewritten to say many different things. Abraham Lincoln, in one of his addresses, said that after the war, he said something I was reading just a few days ago, that in one of his speeches after the war, he said, "I fear more now for my country than ever I did in the midst of war, because I see coming corporations, companies and corporations which will grow to become enormous in strength, and they will usurp the individual's rights and liberties, and eventually I see our country being totally taken over by corporations." And then today, that was back in 1936, the history book I was reading just a few days ago, his comments after the war, and it had him saying that nothing could be more, everything was just wonderful. He couldn't imagine how great everything was, and is just happy that the war was over, and he sees nothing but progress and happiness for America in the future.
And yet, Jordan, our founding fathers wrote some amazing documents.
Oh, yes.
The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, to name but two.
Yes.
We still have those.
We still have those, but according to the law, and this is what the law says, unless an individual goes into a court as a belligerent, is the term used in law books, unless an individual goes into a court as a belligerent and stands to defend his rights in a court in this country, it says you have no rights. You have no rights except those which you exercise, given to you by the founding fathers, and you must be a belligerent. You must go into a court determined that you will get justice, and you must know the law. Now, if you don't know the law and you cannot stand on your own by yourself with no attorney and defend yourself, then you've lost all your rights. We have now something called civil rights, but there is an organization called American Civil Liberties. So there's a very big difference between a civil right and a civil liberty. A liberty comes from God, a right comes from government. And any government that is big enough to give you rights is big enough to take them away. So what I'm saying is that we have been manipulated out of our birthright and put into a corporation. And I can go on with this, but that's the legal side of all.
And the key term is manipulated.
Absolutely. Without
a
doubt.
We've got to look. Go ahead.
And I was going to say, and in order to, because the Caesars of Rome used to say that the way to keep people docile was to give them bread and circuses. Give them plenty to eat, make sure they have enough alcohol on every corner, and give them plenty of entertainment to keep them occupied.
Well, Lord knows we've got enough circuses.
And we've got enough alcohol and drugs, and of course the drugs in this country, the drug problem, is obviously because you always want to drug your victim before you rape them. And
yes.
Therefore, if they can keep the young people of America occupied with entertainments and drugs and alcohol, then they will not be any real political force against the tyranny that we face.
On that note, we're going to do a timeout. Stay with us, everyone. Lou Epton here, our guest Jordan Maxwell, and we'll be right back. 28 minutes after the hour, and we are back. Jordan, if I hear you correctly, thee and me and all of us, we're simply pawns in this crazy game, aren't we?
That's exactly the point. We are nothing more than pawns in a game, and we've been had, and we have, and it is only a natural karmic effect. It's a natural effect that if you do not defend your country and your rights, then according to law, you have no rights. And so the founding fathers said that freedom requires constant vigilance. And boy, the one thing we have not been in this country is constantly vigilant.
Quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. We've asked government to do it all for us.
Absolutely. And they are. Any government that's big enough to do it all for you is big enough to take it all away. And what we have here is Rome, the Roman Empire in the 4th century.
There is quite a comparison.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately.
Let me make some other comparisons in relation to that. The Caesars of Rome always rule from something called God's Holy Mountain. It was referred to as the Holy Mountain or the Great Hill. And it was called in Rome in Latin, Capitoline Hill. And they would rule from something called Capitoline Hill. Today we have, of course, our Caesars ruling from Capitol Hill. And the hill, of course, was taken from the old Egyptian pyramid or God's holy mountain, the great mountain. You go up on the mountain to talk to God, like Moses goes up on Mount Sinai. The Japanese have Mount Fuji. The Central Africans have Mount Kilimanjaro. The Greeks have Mount Olympus. The whole concept is that God is up on the holy mountain, up on the hill, and we go up on Capitoline Hill. And so these people believe themselves to be gods. And in a matter of speaking legally, according to international law, they are gods. We have allowed them to usurp the will of the people and become, in fact, legally gods. And that's why you can take to the streets, you can angrily write letters, you can do all that you want, and these people are going to do what they please to do, and you can do nothing about it legally. As a matter of fact, I have documents saying, I don't know if you have ever been told this, but George Washington wrote some very interesting letters, and I have copies of them, in which he talked about a secret conspiracy that was in operation at that time in 1783. At the time of his writing, he referred to them as the Illuminati secret societies, and that they were operating in this country to overthrow the constitutional form of government that our country was founded on, and he was warning people of that time. And I have the letters in front of me. And it's interesting that, and I can send out a copy of this to anyone who wishes it.
All right, give us your address while we're doing this.
Yes, okay, it's Jordan Maxwell, P.O. Box 7442, Burbank, California, 91510. Anyone wishing to call in the 818 area code, 818-769-1071. Let me run back through that again.
Please.
P.O. Box 7442, Burbank, California, 91510.
All right, now you talk about George Washington writing about the Illuminati.
Yes, and made some interesting comments. One, which I thought was just profound, he said that he believed, according to his understanding, that the that what was called in that time the Democratic Societies, which later becomes known in our country as the Democratic Party, George Washington said, 1783, that I believe that the Democratic Societies were founded and formed by a secret society operating out of Europe, which has the express purpose of dividing the people from their government and subjugating our people in a conspiracy to take over our country. That was George Washington's words. I can quote them exactly from the letter, but I would rather send the letter to your listeners who would be interested.
All right. Is
George Washington saying that the Democratic Party was nothing more than a political conspiracy from Europe to overthrow our form of government and to be able to hold the people of this country at bay from their government. In other words, you send your representatives to Washington, D.C., and you have no more control over anything once they leave. And now we can get into Washington, D.C., as opposed to the states and why it's called D.C.
Before we do that, who were these Illuminati in Europe?
All right, they were a late development out of something that had occurred even earlier. The Illuminati itself was founded in 1776 in southern Germany, or in Bavaria, 1776.
Interesting.
And there was a man named Adam Weishaupt, who was born a Jew but converted to Catholicism and became a Jesuit priest and obtained a chair at Ingolstadt University. And he developed, at the behest of the international banking fraternities in Germany and Europe at that time, he developed a plot or a scheme by which tyranny and by which a totalitarian government could exercise itself on the world. And basically what he said, boiling it all down, it comes down to this. He said that all of history has proven that kings and dictators cannot militarily take over the world. They can't do it. It's just too big a project, and it will never work. And that all the ancient Caesars and all the ancient Alexander the Greats, no matter how powerful, they just couldn't make it work. But there was one way that you could take over the entire world, and that was if you could get everyone on the earth to force you into becoming God of the earth. If you could get everyone to vote you in and want you to become king of the world, then you would have to do it at the behest of the people, and it would not be from you. The people would believe it would be from themselves. And so that was the ploy that was used. Then he said, now in order to do that, in order to get everyone to collectively, all races, colors, religions and groups, everyone together to agree to put you in as king of the world, the only way you could do that is to promote violence and bloodshed, revolutions, anarchy, murder, and every sort of filthy, degenerate violence the world has ever known. Promote it. Pay
Sounds
for
like
it.
You're describing the society we live in.
That's right. You organize and direct violence against all races, all people, women, children, anything. And you fill the world with enough violence and enough horror so that all races, no matter who you might be, all people will come to the realization eventually that this has got to stop, and to save the human race, it must be called to a halt. And therefore, when the people are finally at that point where they're ready to accept anything, you come in on a white horse and say, look, the only thing that to do is to have a world government that gives absolute authority to one government to control all violence, all badness, all war. And throughout the whole world, we need one government, because you can't do it if you have all these little tiny governments. So what we need is a United Nations organization that will be able to police the whole world, but it's not our idea. All countries and nations have come together and begged for this, so we have to do it. And that was the plot that was laid down, and it is now working fine. It's in something called New York.
And that was back in 1776. Time out, and we'll continue. Stay with us, everyone. At 21 minutes before the hour, Jordan, let me ask you. We've gone back to 1776. That was the beginning, according to your research, of the Illuminati.
Well, no, that's the beginning, according to the Encyclopedia Americana and Britannica and every other encyclopedia and any in any dictionary, in any library. That's common knowledge.
All right, but doesn't it go back even...
That's what I said originally, that it's merely a recent occurrence connected to a more earlier occurrence, and it goes all the way back. This conspiratorial concept and ideas, politically and religiously, go back also to about the 9th century, and it can be traced further than that, but it becomes very important to us in Europe in about the late 9th century, or about the year 1000, when a group of people met in Europe, and they were in France, and they were referred to as Knights of Solomon's Temple, or the Knights of the Temple, and they became known later in history as the Knights Templars. The Knights Templars were a Masonic order of chivalry in the Middle Ages, and today, what we call today in our country banks, international banking or banks where you write checks and send money and save money and get interest, banks were set up and organized and directed and financed by the Knights Templars of the 9th and 10th century. And so today, when we talk about international bankers, what we're talking about is a very old fraternal order referred to as the Knights Templars. And the Knights Templars are then connected to the Knights of Malta, and that's why the president and Gorbachev and the President Bush went to Malta for their summit. Remember, a summit is the top of a mountain, God's holy mountain, so they're going to a summit. And the summit was on Malta. It was to honor the Knights of Malta. These fraternal orders of the Knights Templars, the Knights of Malta, gets into, and at this point I think it's important to bring out the connection to a term that we're hearing today, the New World Order. And we've heard that beginning with Bush, we began hearing it publicly. Those of us in the field of religio and political philosophy have been hearing it for many, many years. It goes back almost 200 years, that term New World Order.
Well, those of us old enough to remember can remember when Adolf Hitler...
Well, of course.
...used the same phrase.
Absolutely. Adolf Hitler wrote, I haven't seen the book, but I've seen photocopies of it.
His second book was...
His second book was called The New World Order.
That's absolutely right.
Absolutely. And so let me explain for your audience quickly The New World Order. My mother's uncle, as I told you, worked in the Vatican as a Secretary of State's office, as a civilian. And I remember even at 8 years old, 9 years old, hearing him explaining these terms, and it was just absolutely phenomenal. He was saying that, and it's true, that for almost 1,700 years, Rome has ruled the world through Europe. Europe was dominated by Rome, and Europe dominated the world. So ultimately, there's a pecking order of sorts in world politics. The world but dominated by Europe, and Europe's dominated by the Vatican. That old Vatican-dominated Europe was referred to as an old world. Europe is the old world.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, that fraternal order of banking, religio, political banking families, the old Romanovs and the Medicis, etc., all of these old families who control the wealth and the politics of Rome were known as the old world order. Now, with the coming of America being discovered, supposedly being discovered, we're called the New World. Columbus discovers the New World. So now we have a fraternal order in America, a religio-political philosophy operating in America through our banks, through our religious institutions, our government, and it is a whole order of modern Rome. And this order is, of course, the New World Order. Now, when you understand that Steven Spielberg and George Lucas, with their interesting movies on Indiana Jones, are telling you the story of the New World Order as opposed to the Old World Order, like Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, you can't understand the Last Crusade if you don't understand the First Crusade. And when you get into all of this term, you get back to Indiana Jones, and who was Indiana Jones' great enemy? In the Last Crusade was Adolf Hitler. Indiana Jones in the first movie of Raiders of the Lost Ark, Adolf Hitler again was the enemy, searching for the Lost Ark. And of course the Lost Ark, if you'll remember, was not found in the Holy Land, it was found in Egypt. They were in Egypt looking for the Lost Ark, because that's exactly what the Knights Templars and the occult societies know about religion. There's a very powerful story going on here about the Lost Ark, the Holy Grail, Adolf Hitler, and if you'll recall that Adolf Hitler was had consolidated the powers of Italy, or Mussolini, Vatican, with Adolf Hitler, was referred to as the Axis powers, and of course the symbol for fascism was the old ancient Roman axe of the Axis powers. And on the other side, of course, was England and America, because England had broke with the Church of Rome, and England and America became an Anglo-American dual world power, the New World Order. And it all has to do with symbolism, and of course the United States is in the power of this country is in New York City, and New York is referred to as the Empire State, because it's the state of the New World Empire.
Oh, my.
And therefore,
gosh,
the Empire strikes back with the Jedi Knight. The Empire strikes back at Rome. And so what we're talking about here is interesting, too. In the occult reference works of occult Freemasonry, they say that European occult Freemasonry has as their spiritual leader a little midget type of character, spiritual character, who is referred to as Yoda, and he has little pointed ears, and Yoda is the patron saint of the Knights Templars, who are the great enemies of Rome, and therefore the New York, as I said, is the Empire Strikes Back, the Empire State, striking back at Europe, or Rome, or Mussolini and Hitler, Vatican, Europe, as opposed to England and America. What I'm saying here is that these two great wars and the wars going on in the Middle East today, these are nothing more than wars between great and powerful secret societies and fraternal orders of some very frightening proportions, vying for world power, and they haven't got a thing to do with God, you, or this country. It's It is two very powerful criminal gangs vying for power as to who's going to eat up the territory. We see the same things going on in our major cities between rival gangs. And incidentally, the graffiti that we see by here in Los Angeles especially, you will find that the graffiti from the black and Latino gangs has nothing but Masonic emblems in them. You can trace all of these different graffiti back to occult symbols, and those occult symbols go back to Freemasonic symbols.
Oh, boy.
And I've got two black doctors here in Los Angeles that have written extensive articles and photographs showing all of the emblems traced back to fraternal orders and secret societies. I am telling you that organized crime in this country and the general criminal element in America is not here by chance. It is all part and parcel of a master movement to frighten the people, to manipulate our government and manipulate us into accepting a new world order to put down all of this terrible problems and troubles. And it's all been set up and all been orchestrated from behind the scenes. And I think it's about time we find that out. It's
all
a horrible
right.
story, but we're going to find it out eventually. We're going to see the rise of a new Hitler coming.
Okay, on that we're going to have to do a break. Stay with
right.
us. Okay, and we're back. We've had a full board of listeners wanting to get through to you since the onset of the program. I know you've got more information you want to get out there.
Well, I certainly do.
Okay, so if it's all right, we'll hold the calls until hour number two.
Okay, very good. Let me get on back to what I was saying. If you, any Masonic lodge you drive by today in America, both Scottish and York Rite, there is a term which is usually over the door or the opening or somewhere found in the lodge. And the word is in Latin, and all Freemasons know what I'm talking about. The word is Ordo, O-R-D-O, Ab, A-B, K-O, C-H-A-O. It's Ordo Ab K-O. In Latin, of course, that means order out of chaos. And that's precisely how the Illuminati decided that they would bring about a new world order, is out of chaos. Now, there was a motion, there was a television comedy a few years back called Get Smart.
I remember.
All right, and in Get Smart, when someone tells you to get smart, they're implying you're ignorant and wake up.
Okay.
Get smart. And in Get Smart, they would show every week, every episode was between the two warring factions. One was called Chaos, and one was called Control. Okay, and that is exactly the idea, that if you can cause enough chaos, because you have to orchestrate it, and manipulate it and exploit it and use it, with enough chaos, you can frighten the people into giving you the power to control. So Ordo ab Chao means order out of chaos. And incidentally, as I said to you before, the Illuminati was founded on 1776 on May Day, May 1st. And, of course, we know that May 1st has always been used by the communist countries as a great day of revolutionary violence. And, of course, even in our military, or in military terms, when you're in serious trouble, it's a May Day call.
That's right.
May Day implies serious trouble. And, of course, our last riot here in Los Angeles was on May 1st, May Day. It is all part and parcel of a manipulation by some very powerful politicians and secret society fraternal orders that are operating behind our government, using symbols and emblems so blatant that that you couldn't possibly miss them if you know what to look for.
And you don't think any of this really happened by chance?
Not on your life. I can prove everything I'm saying by documentation. It has all been set up, organized, directed, and financed, and the wars are nothing more than put-up jobs. And that's why even in the in military language, the areas of war are called theaters. There's a Pacific theater, the European theater. A theater implies a put-up. It's a show. It's orchestrated. And so what we're talking about here is some very powerful, sinister people behind the scenes orchestrating wars or violent crimes to obtain a political end. And I'm talking about our so-called federal government. they are the real criminals in this country.
Well, now, the elected officials or the people behind them
pull
the strings?
I say both. But the ultimate horror must go to the people behind the government, but the people in the government are equally as bad because they know what I'm saying. They already know and understand what I'm saying, and they're aware, and they go along to get along.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd like to think you've got some God-fearing people that have been elected to
the
government.
Well, you may have, but they will be taken care of accordingly. If a bad egg gets in there who thinks he's going to do something for the people, they will either buy him off, disgrace him somehow, or if he's not going along to get along, they can always assassinate. And, of course, the word assassination is used in relation to political killings, assassinations. That word assassination comes from the old Arab assassins, who were the strong arms for the Knights Templars in the 9th and 10th century. They used, the Masonic Order of Knights Templars used the Arab assassins to do their killing. And therefore, when the underworld wants to kill someone, they call them assassins. And so what we have today is fraternal orders operating in America under the guise of brotherly fraternal orders actually using assassins behind the scenes to manipulate our people and our government. I'm telling you, it is absolutely frightening. And that the ultimate I see coming, the ultimate is going to be the people are going to have to wake up. And when they do, they're going to be frightened to death to see what we have done by allowing our country to fall into the hands of the most powerful criminals the world's ever known. And I'm telling you, all of this can be proven. We can prove it by documents, and I have, God knows, I must have about 10 different bank boxes filled with documents and photocopies of letters and all kinds of material. This kind of material has been known by politicians and religious leaders for many years, but no one has seen fit to say anything publicly. So I've been waiting for a long time for our so-called leaders, our misleaders, to say something. Since they're not saying anything, I know what I'm talking about. I'm going to say something. And I have so many different points that I'd like to bring out at this moment, but maybe it would be better to go to the phones maybe for a few moments. And
all right. Before we do that, we've got to do one more time out this hour.
Very good.
And we'll be right back. All right, we've got just about 1 minute to go. And if you can, in just a few words, Jordan, you mentioned unless we wake up, do you think there's a chance we might?
Well, I don't know. It's very difficult to figure right now, I'll tell you, because there has never been a massive awakening in any country, in any nation, at any time. Even the Revolutionary War that founded this country was only, the men that took up arms against England was only 3% of the male population.
Uh-huh.
Only 3%. So the security of our country and our nation rests on a handful of people who are willing to give their lives to save the rest. It's not going to be a massive awakening. It's going to be a handful of people who give their all and to go all the way to wake the people up and to try and do something. I told you that the words were important. Let me throw this in the last few seconds.
Okay.
Words are important, like the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. It's the Federal Emergency Management. Management, it means that they manage emergencies. We have things like the Center for Disease Control. It's not the Center for Disease Eradication, but Control. Here in California, we have something not called the American Justice System or the California Justice. It's the criminal justice system.
And on that, we got a break. Stay with us, everyone. We'll be back right after the news. This is